Well, it's Pentecost. In the world, this is Memorial Day weekend. And it struck me that the meaning of both of these days has been lost on a lot of people. Memorial Day, for many folks, is no longer a day to honor those who sacrificed their lives for this nation. It's just another day off, the beginning of summer. And for many folks, Pentecost is received as, huh? What? What's that? Well, here's the deal. Pentecost is our birthday. It is the beginning of the Christian church. Now, as big a deal as this is, it is easy to forget that our birth, our start, was born out of confusion and fear. After Jesus was betrayed, beaten, spit on, crucified to death, after these wild stories about his resurrection from the dead circulated among his followers, nobody knew what to do. There were no plans. They were afraid. And what do you do when you're afraid? They hid. So there they are, hiding and afraid, and then the Spirit comes to them. And we're told it sounds like a great and mighty wind blowing in the house, and it filled them with life and power. And suddenly the people there began to hear the disciples speaking to them in their own language, kind of like what we tried to recreate with the reading of our second lesson in different languages today. Now, I know that when we hear this story, we might assume that it's all about supernatural special effects kind of things that only happened a long time ago in stories in the Bible. The problem with that kind of conclusion is, if we think that's how the only way God is at work, then we will miss it. We will miss the ways the Spirit continues to come to us today and to blow among us. Now, you just heard me talk with the kids a few minutes ago about how the word Spirit in the languages of the Bible was a word that had three meanings all at once. Okay? In Hebrew, the word for Spirit is Ruach. Sounds kind of like you're coughing, doesn't it? Ruach. Okay? And the word in Greek for Spirit is Pneuma. Okay? We use that today in words like pneumonia, pneumatic tool. It has to do with air. Okay? Now, these words, recall, they had three meanings at the same time. They meant breath, and they meant wind, and they meant spirit, all at the same time. And people could not hear just one meaning. They always heard three meanings all at the same time. That's a lot to pack into one word, isn't it? Okay? So this means that the Spirit is God's own breath, the very breath of life that we breathe in, the breath that fills our bodies and gives us life. Remember back in that second creation story, God kneels down to Adam, who he forms out of the mud, and breathes life into him. Huh? First story in creation, God is blowing all over the face of the earth. Blowing, spiriting, breathing, all over the face of the earth. This means that God is no further from us than our own breath. And when God fills us this way, it changes us. It transforms us so that the power in us is not our power, it is God's power. And the Spirit continues to blow around us. God continues to fill us with new breath that allows us to speak and blow new life and to fill our spirits and our souls. The Spirit has come to us to lead us in our faith, to sustain us like our own breath. Now, we speak English. Most of us, kind of. And I was talking with a college student who's home. He's taking a lot of German classes, and he said one of the classes he took this last year was on different dialects of English in the United States. He said it was really kind of hard. One of the things we lose sight of in English is that in most other languages, nouns have a gender. In English, we don't do that. It's just the. Okay? So in German, for example, the word for dog, Hund, is always masculine, der Hund. Okay? The word for cat, Ketzer, is always feminine, die Ketzer. Okay? In the languages of the Bible, the gender for spirit is feminine. She, her. We can't translate that into English real well. But this tells us that the Spirit is one of the female expressions of God, which makes all kinds of sense because she's about compassion, love, forgiveness, insight, wisdom. And get this, giving and recreating life, sustaining and nurturing. And I'd suggest the Spirit does not simply work in fantastic, inexplicable ways. Rather, the Spirit continues to blow around us. We breathe her in, and we get to blow her out. We continue to speak the language that others understand today. But maybe not in French or Finnish at our first service, a man who grew up in the UP, where there's a lot of them speak Finn. Oh, no. It's not a matter of learning other languages. It's a matter of speaking the language other people speak. The person struggling with addiction, the person who feels like they are lost inside because they've spent most of their life living in fear, in hiding, to the point where they don't know there's any other option. Maybe you call somebody sometime out of the blue, and it turns out that you were just the right person to call them on that day. And they hear your voice, and you hear the relief. That's the work of the Spirit, friends. That's the way we speak other languages with people today. And it suggests that God has laid a special work, a special passion in each of our hearts. Maybe, I know some of you have a strong passion to feed hungry children. I know some of you are called, you have a passion to help abused and victimized women and children. And I know some of you have a desire to care for the homeless and to advocate for those who have no one to advocate for them. And maybe you hear Jesus' words, whenever you gave water to the thirsty, whenever you clothe the naked, whenever you house the homeless, you did it to me. And you realize, I've been in that spot. Maybe not literally dying of thirst, but maybe a time I was so thirsty for mercy, I was dry and aching for a second chance at life and a new beginning. And sometimes we realize after the fact that Jesus has been to visit us, and we didn't even know it in the moment. That, friends, is how the Spirit works. Meanwhile, we live in a world that doesn't get it. The world out there just does not get it. Our world is all spreadsheet, black, white, yes, no, linear, right and wrong. That's it. Nothing in between. Our world, friends, is holding its breath. And it's holding its breath and suffocating the life out of us, filling us with lies, telling us that lies are truth, and the truth are lies. It tells us that mirages are real, so that we can't tell the difference between a mirage and a pool of water when we're thirsty. And when our souls thirst and we want living water, the world says, here, have a mouthful of sand. And then we wonder why we're still thirsty. We're told we should keep chasing after the next new shiny thing and we'll be happy. We will feel fulfilled as if something on the outside of us can do that. And then we wonder why we can't catch our breath when we're chasing all the time. We live in a time when the anonymity of the internet allows people to say vile, incendiary, evil, hateful things without any consequences and without finding out who they are. The world we live in is suffocating. It's holding its breath, and it doesn't even know it. It's choking us on sand and tells us it's giving us life-giving water. We breathe in, and we breathe out. We can't just hold our breath. We will die. We will just die. And by the way, you know what happens to air if you hang on to it, if you keep it canned up too long? Smell the air that comes out of a tire that's been inflated for about 10 years. It smells like something my dogs want to roll in. It just stinks. Okay? In order to stay fresh, we need to breathe in and breathe out. So are you going to hold your breath, or will you breathe too? Will you breathe out the mercy and love, the compassion and new life that God has given you, or are you going to hold your breath? Will you use God's Spirit to form words that seek justice and compassion that Jesus calls us to care for? Or are you going to hold your breath? Will you speak to those who are hurting? Will you speak for those who are hurting? Those who are lost, who feel forgotten? Are you going to hold your breath? It's not our breath. It's not our power. It's not our ability. It's all God's. It's God's breath. It's God's ability. It's God's power. It's God's love breathing in and out of us. Do not hold your breath. It is God's Spirit who speaks for us. She breathes new life into us, new power into us. But when we inhale, we need to exhale. If we hold our breath, we'll die. We need to blow it out. God has given us each a special passion, a special purpose to live out our faith. Now, I cannot pretend to tell anybody specifically what that is for you, but I can tell you it has something to do with exhaling, with breathing out, with blowing God's mercy back into this world, with sharing how you have been redeemed and bought back, sharing your new clean spirit and soul with those around you who are hungry and thirsty, and who wait for justice, who wait to be redeemed, who wait to be loved, who wait to be wanted. Our world says lies are truth, and truth is lies. It tells us the mirage is real, so when you're thirsty, have a mouthful of sand. Don't settle for sand when you're thirsty. Don't hold your breath when you've already been filled with real power. The Spirit is ready and willing and waiting to work in this world. All she needs from us is to give her form. The Spirit is already blowing into you. You who feed so many people. You who care for so many. You who share God's love in recreating power. Don't hold your breath. Breathe in God's breath. Listen for her to reveal what God has laid on your heart and how it will bring you deeper peace and contentment and purpose as you see and feel God's Spirit blowing all around.